Hey everyone, and welcome to Signals from the Frontline, your every Thursday recorded podcast brought to you here by Frontline Gaming. We are your hosts, Kicker, the Chief of Serial, and Sigillate of the FLG. I'm Seth the Mad Doc, your competitive correspondent. And over here in our editing bay is Nikki D. Cannon, our producer extraordinaire. How has everyone been doing?
Editing bay. We're going to have to make that the official title of Nikki D's alcove on our spaceship studio, the not Millennium Falcon. The So guys,
well, I think we added a suggestion for aluminum egret.
Yeah. I love it. So this is the aluminum egret. So for those of you that love to listen to us every single week, consider watching us live on YouTube, not live, watching us recorded on YouTube. Sorry, it's been years of me saying live.
Yeah, we're a bit programmed.
It's going to take us a while, but watch our show. We've got a cool background. It's cool. It looks like we're in a spaceship, and I really like it. We do not have chat, but we have something even better now. And I have to say, I'm a fan. Discord. Yeah. It's cool. All the cool kids are hanging out there. Yeah. Seth, how do people find the Signals from the Frontline Discord?
Just look in the description of this video, or if you're listening to the podcast, in the description of the podcast. If you can't find it in either one of those areas, you're always welcome to message myself or Nikki D to get an invite. But the invite is open to everyone. Everyone's welcome to join. It is a free community, but it has been a very fun community and a very lively community, and a lot of good interaction there. So I've been enjoying that. What's everyone been up to? Kicker, what have you been doing?
As is tradition on the show, we have hobby progress to keep us all accountable.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Let's do things. Yeah. Seth has got work. Bring in my hobby. Look at that. There we go.
Wait.
Oh, it's a black screen. It's just,
I know, wait for it. Just give it a second.
Tension is building.
The computer's doing the best it can. The aluminum egret's not the strongest ship
ever. We need C-3PO and R2-D2. Okay, here we go. There. So I've got more Kroot. No surprise there, guys. Ooh. I love my Kroot. These are the Rampagers and the Kroot Talks guy. They're obviously just works in progress.
Yeah.
I did the mistake, and I don't know if you've done this before, Seth, or maybe Nick, where you glue the rider to the mount, and then you're forever screwed as you try to paint to glue together. Yeah, Nick, have you done that, Nick? Has that been a problem that you've experienced?
Yes, with some of the corn juggernauts that I have, like that's pretty common for that. But generally, I've stayed or Space Marine bikers.
Ooh, yeah,
right. Like that's another one. I think a lot of people have run into that problem. But I mean, Seth, you've run through that with orc bikers though, right?
That kind of took me into building and painting and sub assemblies. Which once you start down that road, you're like, oh, the painting's so much easier. But then it becomes everything has to be done like that, and it becomes a sickness. I'll speak about more of my sicknesses later. But I want to point out, Kicker, it looks like that Rampager all the way on the right side of the image. Did you paint a tattoo on him?
No, it's all war paint. That's supposed to be a handprint of like
zigzag white line on his shoulder.
Zigzag, yeah. The zigzag is war paint. Yeah,
I'm going with
the white war paint.
I like that. That freehand.
One has like a zigzag on the right on the mount. The other one has
I see the one that's kind of like middle to the left has that.
He's got like a hand. True Talks rider, like kind of the Native American style of war paint where they put like a handprint on the back of a horse. You know, I'm like, oh, I can do that with Kroot. The problem, guys, little known fact here: Kroot have four fingers, so I had to go back. I'm like, I needed this to be accurate. I can't have a five fingerprint handprint.
No five fingerprint Kroot.
Yeah, it's not enough. It's like, oh, I gotta redact that. I'm really enjoying these models. I did, like I said, I make the error of gluing the models together and then painting them as one thing, which is taking a longer time because I'm having to go back and correct mistakes. But I was so eager to get these on the table to get my first game in with them and they have to have a writer. Like, I want my fully built model. Yeah. So I did play my first game with Kroot. It was very Tau or traditional Tau heavy. You know, I had, you know, ghost keels and all that, but I had so much fun. Did I lose? Yes, but I had fun. So I'm really enjoying it. What about you, Seth? Got any hobby progress this week?
In preparation for Oryx, last few weeks, you've seen me building and painting some works, kind of getting ready for the Codex. And I finally pulled the trigger on a large project that I've been talking about. That's my secret project. Pardon the mess, Kicker, but this is what I built this weekend.
That's a lot. Built it this weekend?
Yes, that is. Obviously, some of these things are painted. But everything that's unpainted has been built this weekend. So that is 24 Grot tanks. And then I had basically like three units of like three or four Killicans, and I buffed those out to six. And then I added some more weapon options because I do magnetize the arms. Remember where I said I was going to talk about my sickness? Once you start magnetizing weapons, you're like, oh man, this means I don't have to paint a whole new Killican. So I magnetized a bunch of weapons, which fun fact, the Orc, Death Dread, and Killican kits do not have a full spread of weapons. So for like the Killican, it's got one of each range weapon. For the Death Dread, it has two of each range weapon. And the Killicans, obviously, all three can take one range weapon. And for the Death Dread, it can take four of a single range weapon. So I say I finally pulled the trigger because I have literally been like scouring eBay for the bits for all of these weapons. And the connecting bits to connect them to, because there's like a little like a ball and socket joint for the shoulders, and the ball and the connects to the weapon. There's only four of those in the Death Dread kit, despite there being like 12 weapons in the Death Dread kit. So I literally for years have scoured and like I had all these bits collected, and I was like, it's finally time for the Gretchen army. Now, kicker.
Wait, can we have a Gretchen army take on my Crude army? Like, that would be a lot of fun.
Let's do that. Now, there's an important point here that I want to make. There has always been the risk when you do something like this, like all of that, half of that's Forge World units.
Yeah.
There's always a risk with Forge World that eventually those models are going to be discontinued or legends. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly a possibility. But I have a backup plan for these if they ever get to the point where they're not going to be used on the table, because I have a fair few other Orc vehicles from over the years that are no longer supported by Forge World. I have Lift-A-Drop-A wagons. I have the old Battle Fortress. I have a bunch of just vehicles that they made, but they no longer support rules-wise. And I want to turn all of those vehicles into some Demolition Derby display board of doom.
Oh, jeez, yes.
So, yes. So I did have some friends yelling at me this weekend when I was, like, showing them, like, I had three trays of bits to build together, and, like, I spent an entire weekend doing this. They were like, why are you spending so much time on this? Like, these models could go away at any time. I was like, look, if they go away, that sucks that I don't get to play them on the table, but they are going to be part of the most epic display board ever. So don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's how you go and you win with a display board right there. Yeah. So, I mean, and kudos for you. I mean, and like that is dedication. I'm inspired. I'm impressed. I think you're a little crazy, but I am impressed.
I mean, then they previewed Orcs this week and I was like, yes.
So
it was very, very opportune timing.
We will have to talk about Orcs in a little bit, but let's ask Nikki D. Yeah. I mean, come on. He's been doing some hobby stuff too. I know.
What have you been up to, Nikki D?
Well, not hobby painting stuff. The painting that I said I was going to get to last week, it didn't happen at all. And I'll touch on that in a second why here. But Seth and Kicker, can we talk about the most important thing that has happened in Warhammer in the last week? It's the reveal of the new Skaven clan rats. I've been saying that I'm going to be getting on the Skaven train, and I saw, I think it was Thursday or maybe Friday last week, but they put out the release and hey, these are the new clan rats. They're actually smaller, like slightly smaller, but like more, but it's because they're hunched.
Yeah.
So they're more like rat-like but just kind of more dirty. They're more weapons and their shields and their weapons are kind of more
personality.
Just,
like one has an eye patch that they show, like it looks cool. Yeah. There's character. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, the clan rats had been updated fairly recently, so I didn't mind those models actually. But these ones, just once I saw them, oh man, your boy was in love. I was very happy with these. So I'll be very excited to be painting lots of these little guys in a few months' time, probably 3 years.
Nikki D, we're taking bets right now, monopose or not. What do you think for the clan rats?
Given how starter sets have been for 40K the last two editions, I'm betting monopose.
Yeah. Yeah.
My expectation, which I don't mind that myself, because that means it's especially as I'm just starting AOS, that means they're quicker to build. I may have a different opinion later, but as far as starting off, that's what I'll be doing.
They usually do like large squads of these in these starter boxes, so there's probably going to be like a squad of 10 to 20, so you're going to get a lot of different sculpts, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So that was last week. Over the weekend, Saturday, I played in the Trios tournament. My team, we went 1-2. We won our first round really well. In round one, I got to play my Demon Monster Mash against Tyranid Monster Mash. Really fun game. I won that game 85-83. And then I played against Custodes in round two. Tough game. I lost that one, but it was a pretty close game. And our team lost by 22 points because it was just the three scores of our games combined. So it was pretty close for the round, but then the third round we played against some of our teammates. That one did not go so well for us, but was a good time overall. But the next part for my weekend, though, and why I didn't get to hobbying, I had food poisoning. I don't, I don't recommend food poisoning, folks, but my week ended much better. So this was actually a Tuesday night. My wife and I, we went and saw Death Clock. Ooh. I talked about them a few months ago, but them on their comeback tour, or not, I guess just coming back, saw Death Clock. They were fantastic. And Dragon Force. One thing about Dragon Force, I'll note, I listened to their latest album. They have a song called Space Marine Corps. You want to guess what it's about, guys?
Space Marines?
It talks about killing Tyranids and killing Necrons and killing orcs. So, Seth, you're obviously going
to
hate it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go watch that. Or listen to
that now. But, yeah, they got a song. But the band that opened, and it's the image on screen for those watching our video, it was a band called Necrogoblicon. And they are a band where you've got a human singer that does the goblin style vocals, the really screamy, harsh vocals that you would expect from metal. And then you have this guy who's dressed as a goblin, or no, he's just a goblin, right? Definitely not a guy with a human mat.
Yeah, an actual goblin, yeah.
And he actually did like the clean vocals, and like I looked up his description on the band's website, and he's listed as clean vocals / hype man, which is pretty much my dream job. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier.
Yeah.
But Necrogoblicon, check them out. All of their songs are about goblin life. So Seth, as you are working on your Grot army, this should be your soundtrack. Yeah, Necrogoblicon.
I'll have to add it. So
yeah, tell us in the comments below, guys, like, what do you listen to when you paint? You know,
besides us,
what music? Okay, what music? Gotcha. If you do listen to music, are you rocking to? Yeah, sweet. What was it? Goblin? What was it? Mecha Goblin?
It's on the screen behind you. Necrogoblin.
Literally, we knew this. This is
you can read. I know you can read.
All right. Mostly. All right, mostly.
What else has everyone been up to in life lately?
I guess I can just say I bought a house, and I kind of mentioned that to you guys last week. Well, that or bought a house officially, closed on it, and my house is currently up for sale. My other house is up for sale, so it's a little awkward right now because everything's in boxes. And I don't know about you, but I have this weird, like, you know, when you have a kid, you have like a blanket or maybe a stuffed animal or something like that comforts you. What comforts me as an adult now is my hobby space. And I don't have that space. It's all in a box. Yeah. And I'm like, I feel a little lost. I'm like trying to paint, you know, just on my, you know, regular dining room table. And I'm like, it's not the same. And it's not my little sanctuary. So I'm looking forward to finally being able to unpack everything eventually and get back to that. Anything else on your guys' front, or are we going to go right into?
That's plenty going on. So I talked last week. Chat really wanted me to start trying to do a powerlifting competition. So I started looking into it. I was like, okay, like, let me put this on my radar. Kicker, do you know how many different powerlifting, like, competitive organizations there are in the United States?
Oh, I'm sure there's a bunch, right? There's
got to be
a bunch.
51.
Jeez.
All with different rules. And some of them are, like, the most minor details about, like, what equipment you can and can't use. Obviously, some of them are, like, steroids and non-steroids. It went down a rabbit hole. I got way too far down that. And decided, you know what, like, let's put a pin in this whole competition thing. I'm going to make my own Seth competition, where I'm just going to do my competition myself, and set my own date and then, you know, have fun with that. But as kind of part of that, I was also getting some recommendations of, like, you know, different workout programs, and I decided, unfortunately for me, to take the plunge on signing up for an app called Juggernaut AI. Either of you ever heard of this?
No.
So it's a training app, and it does exactly what I want a training app to do. I've tried a few others, but it's basically like, hey, okay, it literally built me within, you know, I plugged in, here's what my current one rep maxes are, here's what my goals are, and it was like, it's like, do you have a competition scheduled? I was like, no. Just pick me a date that you think is appropriate. And it basically set me a competition date for like 190 days from now. So basically October. Yeah. And then it built literally every workout between here and there.
Man, technology, right? That's insane.
And here's this is the part that I really wanted. So it's like, okay, like every day, it's like when I go to do workout, it's like, it's already knows what muscle groups are working that day. And it's like, so this week it was like, all right, You know, how much sleep did you get? How much did you get? Like, is anything particularly sore that you're not recovering well? And then it builds your workout that day. And then it gives you like, here's the lifts you need to do. But then if you're like, I don't want to do that, I don't like doing that, I don't have the equipment to do that, it has a big list to switch out. And then even as you're going through your sets in a lift and you plug in, like, this is my number of reps I did at my weight. And then do you know what RPE means? This is all things I've had to learn, so everyone else can learn it with me.
All right, educate us.
Yeah, RPE is the rep perceived effort. There's a whole scale basically, and then there's also RIR, which is reps in reserve. They're both mean the same thing, but basically it's like, okay, how many reps did you have left, or you know, all that. And then you plug all that in and it literally goes, okay, your next set should be this weight at this many reps, and it adjusts literally as you go through the workout and planning the rest of that workout. So I've had some other apps that haven't done that. And so then I kind of was like, that's fine, I'll just cancel that, you know, subscription. But this one does all that, and it does it pretty well, it seems. It even has like your entire warm-up break broken down for you. Like, you don't have to think. You just plug, you turn the thing on. It's like, what, like, it'll do your timer, everything. It's just like, what are the apps? Like, this is what I'm doing. Like, you're like, how do I do that lift? You're like, here, there's a video of it. Like, just don't think, just do the thing.
How much do you pay for this membership?
Yeah, and that's why, like, it's like $35 a month.
Okay, so it's pricey. It's pricey because I've gotten into the dangerous spot where I've got too many memberships, like, or subscriptions between, you know, things like Netflix and Hulu, and then of course all these damn apps.
And part of me was like $35, I was like, I'll try it, and if I don't like it, I'll get rid of it. I'm like, I'm a week into this thing. I'm like, this is kind of nice. Like, it kind of just does everything for me, and I don't have to think. I don't have to, like, you know, oh, that was too much, I need to change this or that, or oh, and I feel like I got more, I need to change the rest of these, like, and it just does it. So I'm going to keep it obviously for the month because I paid for a month. I'm going to see where I'm at the end of the month, but I'm kind of leaning towards keeping it. But I don't want to because it's $35 a month, but it actually turned out to be a pretty good thing because
it's like cheaper than going and getting like a nice lunch.
It's or cheaper a nice than dinner. A gym membership. Yeah, I have all the weights at my house. I can do it there. I think that's kind of cool. It set my own competition date. So maybe, you know, October, I'll have my own competition in my garage by myself and see where I'm at. But yeah, it's been good. It definitely makes some things sore that weren't sore before. So that's the point. It's working some muscles that I've been having trouble with. So yeah, been chugging along with that. This coming weekend, I'm actually going over to, Atlanta. That's about 2 hours for me to play with some of our friends over in the Pro Tabletop group. Just because I don't really have any events I'm signed up for this month, and we're playing a team event in the end of May, and I really just want to get some practice and kind of get some reps under my belt in the team setting. And so there we're actually all meeting up at a friend's house Saturday and Sunday and playing a bunch of games, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
That's cool.
But yeah,
it is weird, right? April does kind of seem this weird, desolate, you know, hobby. Nikki D, do you got anything in April in terms of tournament? You were going to like a tournament a weekend for a while. Yeah, do you have anything?
Was the tournament man?
Yeah. Well, I just did my tournament here, you know, this past weekend with the trios, but then I'm not playing again, I think, until Maryland Open. Yeah. But Seth, real quick though, while you're working on your RPE as it relates to the weight, the powerlifting, all this summer, because you're doing that's when I'll be working on my RPE, which is rat painting energy.
Oh, look at that.
So, oh, that's true. You will need a lot of rat painting energy.
Get the contrast ready, buddy. Let's jump into some interesting news. We're going to keep it, you know, fast and sweet. But here, Kill Team went up for a pre-order last week. This is the new Kill Team box that includes the Mandrakes and those Night Lords. That is going to be in your hands right this week, I believe. I know it went up for pre-order last week.
And
this set, guys, it had me thinking, right? The Mandrakes are cool, but I wanted to ask you guys, you know, do we think we're going to get, oh my gosh, Night Lords? Are we going to get like a fully built out Night Lords, you know, option in the future? Or is this kind of just a one-off, we get this cool sprue? Because the Night Lords, the guys at the office, they love these new Night Lord. Like it's just a little upgrade sprue for the existing Chaos Space Marine set, but it's like, it's pretty damn cool. What do you guys think? Do you think we're going to get some more Night Lords love?
I don't know. It's not a god dedicated chaos army, so I don't know if they're going to do that. Nikki D, chaos fan.
Yeah, I'm curious myself because whether it's Night Lords, Iron Warriors, Black Legion, right? Like these are non god specific. Essentially, they're the mirror of the Space Marines Codex compliant chapters. And I mean, Ultramarines are a little bit different because they're the poster child, but those armies have some unique characters to them, but not units. So I am very curious myself, because we haven't seen Games Workshop go down that road, at least on the 40K side for this sort of thing. I honestly don't know, and I don't really have a guess.
Well, if you want your first taste of Night Lords, and hopefully just the first of taste of many, like Night Lords, you can go get them right now. They're up for pre-order. Kicker, with this.
Let's talk about the real thing.
Oh, the real thing. Okay, Seth is very excited about the formal announcement of Orcs coming to 10th edition with their own shiny new codex and a box set. Seth, give us your, like, just what do you think, and just go with it.
I'm super excited for them. Obviously, we can't say everything yet, but definitely stay tuned to this channel here in the next few days for plenty of content. The Dread Mob that they previewed looks really exciting. Bully Boys looks really exciting. I'm actually kind of a stickler kicker for dice. I collect all the orc dice, and I was really hoping they were going to be good orc dice. They look pretty cool, so I'm happy. I'm going to order me a few sets.
Those orc dice look very similar to the last orc dice they released, because
the last orc dice were like an off white. They were like a tan color. I don't love that.
I loved it.
My guys aren't tan pants. They're white and red. So I want white.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Anyway, tan is more earth tone than white. That's why I like the.
Yeah, of course. You went with the earth tone. Of course he did.
Yeah. Right.
All right. What else is coming up?
Well, we, you know, got to respect the Imperium as well. We got Custodes. All right, Nikki D, you're the closest to a Custode player out of the three of us. Do you think that this is exciting? From what
you
we've seen, we
only
seen
very little.
Actually, Seth, question for you. We're gonna flip back and forth between the screens here, but Seth, question for you: Shouldn't orc dice be blue? Isn't that like the lucky color for orcs?
Clearly, yeah.
Why GW, is I'm gonna need you to reissue those dice in blue stat.
Yeah, like either
they should include like one blue die, right? So you get a set of 12 or 14. Just one lucky blue die. It just should be a thing.
I'm in. Do it.
Yeah. Or red orc dice, because then you roll your dice faster, which makes the game go faster, right? So you can finish on time with all of those orcs that you got. Custodes though. It's you're getting the new codex, new data cards, new dice option that's there, special and regular edition codex. The new character they get, it's a shield captain, but with a different weapon. That's going to be there. So it looks like he's got a shield and then a spear with some other weapon that's on there. That's what we got there for the Custodes. So pretty lean. They're a pretty small footprint army anyways. That's Custodes.
Yeah. Okay. So we got Custodes with the Horus Heresy. And I know we don't play 30K here, but we like Blood Angels, don't we?
Blood Angels.
There we go. Like, do you like this little Blood Angels upgrade kit? That, I mean, does it make you excited? Will you use it for 40K? I mean, is it something you're going to buy?
That is a good question, Kicker. I mean, especially I think there will be some crossover 40K players perhaps ordering some of these bits, just because Inferno pistols are really popular in Blood Angels armies, Death Company, other things like that. Some of the weapons are kind of some cool upgrades. And even then, being able to upgrade it's the Ball Predator kit. It gets you some of the assault cannon stuff, which isn't necessarily the kit that folks want, but it still just looks cool. So yeah. I think we'll see some of that. But if you're a Horus, I mean, but Blood Angels are popular in Horus Heresy as well, right? So I think that'll be a popular choice even for that game.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got the big, you know, first look at the Skaven models, right? The rat men. I think they look good. It's interesting, right? This is an interesting choice to basically anchor the new edition with, right? You're going to, of course, have the Space Marine equivalent are in Age of Sigmar. Stormcast, right?
Yeah, Stormcast.
You have the Stormcast, which are always in every box, but now you have Skaven. I think it was a pretty good move by GW to introduce Skaven like this. You know, it's a full release. It's kind of like, you know, I think it's a faction that do you think people like Skaven? Do you think there's enough people that are going to want? I mean, obviously Nick, but Seth, do you think people are going to want to buy a Skaven?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of Skaven fans. I wouldn't say it's not unique. It's not the only fantasy setting that has rat men in it, but it is very.
Oh, you're right. It's pretty unique. Yeah.
It is a pretty unique faction for the old world and for AOS, so I definitely see them being excited to come back. They were one of the favorite armies in
Total War.
There we go, right? Total War is a gateway drug to 40K. I mean, I definitely played Dawn of War and that got me into 40K. So
speaking of gates and perhaps the Golden Gate Bridge, why don't we talk about some of the FFG events coming up?
Wow, you just did that. Well done, my friend. He's good. So yes, the BAO taking place near the Golden Gate Bridge. Okay, kind of. It's like on the other side of the city, but
it was in the picture. I had to go with it.
It's in the picture. It's in the picture. Yes, the BAO. This is our May event. This is the longest running Frontline Gaming event. It is the original Frontline Gaming event. That one is sold out. It sold out way faster than expected. It is just 40K and the old world. We don't have as much space this year because of being attached to KubleCon and they're going through some growing pains. So we are unfortunately unable to have Age of Sigmar, but there will be Age of Sigmar and Kill Team, a few other games, Star Wars Legion at local stores, and we'll be supporting those local stores. Awesome. But yes, BAO is sold out. I am so sorry to say. If you did not get a ticket, please sign up to be notified. I'm trying desperately to get an answer from the venue if I can get one or two more breakout rooms just so I can add in, you know, another 10, 20 players. Yeah. But as of right now, it is sold out and we are very excited because that's a whole new kind of ticket we did. That ticket included a t-shirt and a bunch of swag with it. So it was a kind of a new ticketing concept we did.
All right.
Now, Atlantic City, that's June. We're all going to that. We're all stoked for that. That's a really big event for us. That one is doing really good. 40K is I'll be honest, 40K is like doing amazing. Age of Sigmar is not quite as where I want it to be yet. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people wondering.
This is a good point because this time last year, we were under the same issues as 40K players as those AOS players are right now.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yep.
Yep. Because and to me, I think the fun thing about going to Atlantic City last year when we knew this was the end of 9th edition and it was the last 9th edition that FLG was going to do because we knew at that point when 10th edition was coming and Lone Star was going to be 10th edition. It felt like that was the event that I took like 30 flash kits. It was
people were bringing all crap.
And everyone just brought goofy, have some fun lists. And it was kind of just like a big like party and send off the 9th edition. So I definitely understand some of the AOS guys maybe being a little down on signing up for an event then. But certainly don't hesitate to have some fun and throw some dice. I mean, particularly the AOS community is kind of the have fun and have a good time community. So, I think you guys should have a kind of, you know, it's a wake for third edition AOS. Let's have a party. Let's have a good time.
Even if not a single other ticket is sold for AOS, there's already enough players there. It's a giant event. It's great. But it's just like, wow, last year at this point, it had sold more. And that's because, you know, this year we have a very brand new edition to the game. And it's that trend right before an edition happens. People, you know, don't necessarily go to events. But 40K at Aegis, Atlantic City, man, that's going to be a big one, guys. That's going to be a big one. So
I mean, I'm going to win it with orcs. So, you know,
you're going to win it with orcs, of course. Yeah, yeah. And we've got, of course, Hobby Goblins coming in force from you know, the East Coast, and of course, players coming in all over across the country. But that's going to be a nice solid one. After that, though, we have the Lone Star Open. That's the one in Texas in June. A lot of people are going to ask about that. That should be going live next week. That is my goal by Thursday of next week. So please wish me luck on that. And then finally, we got Champions Cup. That's the big team event happening in September. And Nick, I think there's a question that you were asked recently.
Yes. Yes, Kicker. Okay, there we go. So a question that some folks have been asking me, there are some teams thinking, hey, we might be interested in going to this. Are tickets, are teams still able to register? Are teams able to still sign up? So I figured that I would take the opportunity to, Kicker, what is the situation? Can teams still sign up?
Pull up my little spreadsheet right here. As of right now, we have one ticket left. Mm-hmm. One spot left. Now, I do know that there's one person that bought a ticket that probably is happy to transfer it. But as of right now, we have one spot left. So get your ticket. It is in the cart. It was in the cart at least as of 7 p.m. my time today. So you know, and I have no doubt that we will have this event be totally sold out. It's not till September. And there's a lot of local teams, too, that are on standby just to help fill it out because we want to have an even number of teams. We don't want to have anyone have a bye. You know, this is a big event. We want everyone playing. It's one I hope to see. Actually, I hope to see both of you guys. Are you both of you guys coming?
Yep, I'll be there.
Yeah, all right. Sweet.
Yep.
So there's a ticket left. To answer the waitlist question, the way Frontline Gaming always does waitlists is by going to their website and then clicking on if the ticket for the event is out of stock because all the tickets have been sold, it's notify me when available. And that will, you can either do it via text message or email, and it will automatically generate that message to you when Kicker goes and adds more tickets to the cart.
Yeah. And if you're for Champions Cup is a big one, it's a really important one. If you really are serious, you want to get on there, shoot me an email, events@frontlinegaming.org. Like I said, I think we have one team that needs to transfer just because I think someone's moving out of the country or something. And anyway, so I might be able to hook you up that way. But yeah, definitely do what Seth said, which is sign up to be notified. And that's literally for anything. I mean, we do it Frontline, including like the tables. The Frontline Gaming tables are sold out. You want a Frontline Gaming table? Sign up to be notified. I know there's a container arriving soon.
Someday.
Or someday. Let's do it. Nikki D, tell us what's going on in nerd news.
Okay, hopefully you're able to see the video as you're watching it, folks, because you wore proper eye gear when you watched the eclipse this week. Seth, Kicker, did you guys were you guys in the path? Were you able to see the eclipse? This is a pretty unique or rare occasion. We get this only every few years or so. It'll be a few years before, but did you guys get to check it out? What did you think?
I didn't give a damn. I really didn't. I was like, I'm working too hard. I don't got time for this shit.
Yeah, I was also working, and you know, I kind of went outside towards the beginning of it. But then, yeah, I was like, I got work to do. I actually remember a few years ago, the last time we had an eclipse, working straight through it as well. So maybe the next eclipse, I won't be working.
You know, guys, I know you guys don't have kids, but I was blown away. A lot of schools had like half day and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, not okay. I do not have a sitter lined up.
I would be kind of surprised too, because it's the sort of thing like me as an adult, I know to wear, you know, proper eye gear and doing that sort of thing. I don't know necessarily if I'd be trusting 6-year-olds to understand, you know, the importance of wearing the appropriate eye gear and those kind of situations. But I saw it was really cool. I think 2027 is the next time we're going to get some form of eclipse. So now, you guys will get another shot at it.
I did lose a little bit of faith in humanity though during the eclipse, because I was like, my brain, you know, in my background, I'm a veterinarian. I have an education in science, and I'm like, there's no reason the sun should be brighter during an eclipse. Yet everyone's going all out with all these protective sunglasses. And I'm like, I bet it's just as dangerous to look at the sun on a day-to-day basis, and we just normally don't care that much. And I did a little research, and yep, it's no brighter on an eclipse day. We just happen to be staring at the sun longer on an eclipse day. So that's why you need to make sure you're wearing your eye protection. But I'm just like, yep, we also probably shouldn't be wearing thick sunglasses whenever we look at the sun in general. But then I was like,
just don't look at the sun is what I would recommend. But
that,
yeah,
you know, don't look at the sun. But I was just like, there's no reason it should be brighter. And then sure enough, I was like, yeah, I'm right. I'm disappointed now. So
we had the eclipse, but now we got to talk about some like pop culture kind of stuff. And have you guys heard about the show, The Three Body Problem? Did we talk about this on a previous episode?
No, but I've seen it pop up in my feed, and I've heard some mixed opinions about it. Kicker, I hear you have an opinion.
Yeah. So I put my, you know, I'm really committed to Signals and our audience. And I just decided to put the work in and watch an episode, you know, just for you guys. Right. Yeah. So it is being aggressively promoted, this particular series. It is a Netflix series. So Netflix has quite a bit of power to push, especially if you watch Netflix already. You're going to get, you know, this popping up saying, hey, you should check out Three Body Problem. Now, I had not actually heard much about it. My wife did. Now, my wife never watches like TV. Like, yeah, she doesn't care about this, but she's like, oh, we should check this out. Like, and she clearly was getting some ads, and she was hearing her friends talk about it. So we decided to watch it last night. I don't know if you guys saw Lost or maybe Manifest. Manifest was this weird kind of show. It's like one of those, it's good. It's entertaining. I've only watched one episode. It's definitely going to have you wondering what the hell's going on, but I definitely recommend it. At least first episode in, like I'm interested. I'm sold. And it's something that is, you know, like Netflix. And I believe Fallout's doing tonight. It's all a season, all episodes drop at once. So I believe you can watch all 8 episodes.
I definitely am not getting off this recording tonight when we're done and immediately watching Fallout. I'm definitely not doing that.
Yeah. Oh, dude. So Fallout, man, that's weird, right? They moved it up for a day.
Okay, Seth has a side interest in like the production side of movies and TV shows. So they sent it out to all the, like the pundits, the reviewers and whatnot earlier this week. And they got a bunch of responses back from them. And then after they got all the responses back, they suddenly decided to move it up a day and do a live like streaming of the first episode on Wednesday night. And I was like, that means it's good.
So you think it's good. My thinking is it's bad, and they want people to watch it to hopefully get into it, because there's going to be so many negative reviews.
The reviews are already out. It has a 92%
on Rotten Tomato. Cool. Nikki D, have you seen reviews for Fallout? Are they positive, negative? Where do you stand post review?
I'm staying clear of the reviews for Fallout. Okay. I am going to watch it. I don't know when I'm going to get to it. The one thing I'll note about Three Body Problem, as that show goes, I have been holding off. I'm interested in it, but I'm holding off because it's done by the writers that did Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yes.
And I am still holding it against them, what they did in season 7 and 8.
I need to
have enough people watch Three Body Problem, or enough people that I trust, where I trust their opinions, watch all of it and tell me whether it's actually good or not. And that is when I will actually pay attention to Three Body Problem.
Kicker?
Yeah, well, yeah.
He's only watched one episode. I need more than that.
All right. And I'm going to watch more episodes.
I'm going to watch this entire damn. It's only eight episodes, but I'm watching the entire damn thing because I'm like one of those guys that whether I like it or not, I'm like, I'm going to finish what I started, damn it. And I'm going to finish this one way or another, and I will give you my honest opinion. You know, the fact that it is, you know, by the guys that did Game of Thrones is what kind of hooked me into it. Like, my wife's like, you know, hey, like, this looks interesting. And I looked into it, like, oh, Game of Thrones. We got to give Game of Thrones some credit. Like, yes, I know they kind of ended it on a bad note, but like, we were all really thoroughly entertained for, let's call it years. So hopefully they can just learn from their mistakes. I don't know. Maybe, hopefully, we'll see.
Maybe.
All right, let's go into the main segment, Seth. Take it away.
All right. Well, this is kind of a touchy one. We'll call it a controversial subject, but they announced a lot of things about AOS over the last week. And one of the main things they announced was a large section of models that in the new edition would be going away.
Yeah. And when you mean going away, Seth, describe that to be very clear.
They specifically said the models in question, which was basically the entire Beast of Chaos line, the entire Bone Splitters line, and a very large portion of the Stormcast Eternal line,
yeah,
and so the Skaven line would all be going to Legends in summer of 2025. Now, Skaven are kind of an outlier because we can presume that a lot of those models that are getting Legends are getting new sculpts with the new edition, but the rest were kind of a surprise. And Nikki D, I kind of wanted to get your take on that as a man who's been dipping his toe into this world.
Yeah. So I think, and this is one of the parts where I've always had kind of a very conscious mind what we've seen from updates over the last couple of years. So before I joined the show, I ran events at a local store and would have lots of new players come in, or, you know, moms come in with their kids trying to, you know, look and buy models. The recommendations that I always would give to those new players or those new people were, make sure if you're buying things, buy the newer kits. You know, what we've seen right over the last few years, the last 5 years, or certainly the last decade or so, is that generally, you know, ranges are going to get refreshed, some of them faster than others. And, you know, trying to fill in the opportunities or holding on to some of those makes it a little bit difficult. You know, so that part there, I think it's a part there where it's not a surprise. That doesn't mean it doesn't feel bad for players, right? And we got to say that part that's there. If you're folks that have spent, you know, time, money, effort into building these armies already or having them for years, that part's not gonna feel great. But I think as we go forward in the game, we're gonna see this applied where there's gonna be, you know, models that get refreshed, units that get refreshed. There's gonna be some changeover that's there. So I think it's part of the paradigm shift that we probably should start to expect to some degree.
And you guys both, you know, I think Seth, you touched on it, and something we really need to focus on a little bit more. We should applaud GW because they're not doing it like immediately. They're saying through 2025, right? Yeah. So you have time to play the new edition and eventually phase out.
I have mixed feelings on that. On the one hand, I definitely appreciate them giving people lots of notice. Mm-hmm. I personally, if I was a Stormcast player, for instance, don't want to know that my stuff is going to suddenly disappear at a certain point, because it kind of disincentivizes me to hobby that stuff up. You know?
Yeah, yeah, of course,
so,
yeah.
So I also appreciate you got to give the community notice. You got to let them know. And they gave them over a year notice. That's a lot of notice. That's way more notice than we've ever gotten for anything on the 40K side that was going to Legends. I guess it's worth mentioning, you know, what does Legends mean? Legends means that they're going to basically provide rules that are a one-off that will not be balanced and, generally speaking, not available for competitive play, so large-scale events. So those rules can still be used in a number of other scenarios. If you're having casual games with your friends, if they're great, so you're still going to be able to use those models. They're just not going to be tournament legal, and they're not going to be updated as balance updates go throughout the edition. So this is kind of where I wanted to dig into the nuts and bolts a little bit more of exactly what we're losing, because some things I can make sense of, and we've seen this in the 40K side, fine cast characters or fine cast units. Yeah. They've been trying to either replace those with a plastic model, and if they don't, when they come out with a new book, they've been basically legendsing or retiring those models. And that makes sense. GW doesn't
totally make sense.
Doesn't want to keep producing, doesn't want to keep manufacturing and maintaining those things. I understood that. And so you look at the Beast of Chaos and the Bone Splitters, those had a lot of models that were from the original Warhammer Fantasy. A lot of those models, characters specifically, and some of the more unique units were fine cast. Okay, I understood that. The part that kind of caught me off guard was those Stormcast kits.
Yeah, that blows me away, man.
They were all plastic.
And like, man, they're not that old. Like, some of them are relatively new. Like, they have that cavalry mod. I don't know what it is. I don't play.
Definitely some from the last edition that are getting sunset.
I'm like, whoa, that caught me off guard. Now, obviously, Stormcast is like Space Marines, where they have a lot of models. They have a lot of models. And I get it. It's bloat. It's too many. They're cool.
It does make it hard to balance, certainly, with more things. But
it's just, there's some of them are so new. I mean, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
So.
And so this is kind of where I dug in a little more. Cause I was again like, man, this doesn't like, I can make sense of Skaven. They're getting a new range. I can make sense of Beast of Chaos and Bone Splitters. Those are old ranges that are not necessarily going to get new sculpts. They're going to let those go. And the Stormcast were, and so that's where I dug in. And I actually was talking, since I'm not super familiar with the AOS community, to Mikey from Hellstorm Wargaming. Do either guys know Mikey or have ever seen Mikey? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's more into AOS, and he was actually talking to me, and this made a bit more sense. There's actually been a significant shift in the design aesthetic and the armor styling from the original Stormcasts
to
what they've been releasing recently. And then it started to make a little bit more sense because it was like, okay, these older ones maybe don't match the design aesthetic. And that makes sense because that was GW's first crack at a whole new range of models. And so certainly as they've been adding sculpts, they've been updating and refining and adding new elements to them and new aesthetics. And he was like, it's basically like Firstborn
Space
Marines versus Primaris. Like, because
that makes sense.
The last Tactical Marine kit that was out was not a bad kit. It just no longer really had the right scale and the right aesthetics as compared to Primaris. So then that was all let go in 10th edition. So it makes a little bit more sense to me why those kits were being retired then. But yeah, certainly it took a little digging because it was not something that immediately made sense that these, because it doesn't seem to me like AOS is that old, but you know how old AOS is, Kicker?
Like 3 years old.
It's close to like 10 years old.
I'm just teasing.
It's been out for almost a decade.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, wow. It's been out for a minute. Like, it'll be a decade next year. It's been like 8 or 9 years. So those kits are older, certainly. But that's just kind of an eye-opening thought to think that a game that I was like, that came out like 2 years ago. And actually, I was like, no, it's been like 8 years. And the aesthetics have evolved a bunch. And I was like, oh, you're right, Mikey. Thank you. So
let's put this in context through the lens, I guess, of a 40K player. Like, that is something I'm kind of afraid of, right? Yeah. You know,
they're going to sunset the Lehman Russ.
Yeah, you said it, man. Don't you dare say that again, though, man. All right, you're stressing me out.
James,
right?
Like, Workshop, listen to me.
I have 9, 10, 20 of those damn things. I would hate to not have any of them be playable.
Kicker,
again.
Did I show you the image at the beginning where I had just built 24 Grot tanks?
Oh, we're going full circle here. We're going full circle. All right. Yes. Okay. So you're obviously not as afraid of that as I am, but like that is a concern of mine because I really do love my collection. I will tell you though that I have, you know, on the concept of saying that the style has changed, the aesthetic has changed from the armor of the original Stormcast to the current ones. You know, man, I've got a ton of original Imperial Guardsmen, and I just literally threw them in the trash can because they don't look nearly as good as the new ones. They just don't fit in with the Death Corps Krieg. They don't fit in with the new Cadians. So I a couple hundred of them just boom, trash. And they're decently painted. They're not, but I was like, you know,
I already hear the comment section, Kicker.
Yeah, no, I didn't actually throw them away, guys. I just gave them away to somebody.
Okay, good. I was like, seriously, just give them to some kid.
I'm giving them to a kid that doesn't actually play the game yet. Right, but they're like toy soldiers for him. But anyway, and these, by the way, these old guardsmen, men, these were my like first like big boy army that I really put time into. But I did the whole Minwax thing. Did you guys ever do the Minwax thing where you dip them in like floor seal? Did you guys ever do that? Yeah. So these things are all dipped, right? This is like pre-army painter, right? Like all dipped. These things
are. I was going to say, don't tell Adam you did that.
Yeah, no, this is all before army painter. These things are like bomb proof, right? Like they are designed for kids to play with, you know, as toys. So anyway, though, but I got rid of them, not because they're not functional. They're still in the same base. They have the same weapon loadouts or could work, but aesthetically, I never use them anymore because they look so weird on the table compared to the newer stuff. I don't know. I do worry about the Lehman Russes though, because I really have a lot of those, and I really do like those tanks. I like the way they look. So.
I've spoken evil into the world.
Yeah, you have stressed me a bit. Look at this. I'm literally getting stressed out here.
Well, let's get on to our community spotlight. So the first section is always now our listener questions. Since we've transitioned away from the live show, we do have our Discord that every week we're opening a thread for listener questions. So join us over on our Discord if you want to ask some questions. We had a good one this week that I wanted to talk about. This is Hawks is for Life asked. He had a longer version of it, but basically, what was your most memorable game of 40K? And not because of the crazy, like, you know, I won a really tough game, or whatever. Like, what's the one that, like, when you think of 40K, sticks out in your head, Kicker?
Oh, jeez. I need time to think about this
All
one.
Right, I'll go to Nikki D.
Let's go to Nikki D. Nikki D first, because I need some time.
What sticks out to you as your most memorable game of 40K?
I think there's multiple games that really stick in my mind as memorable. And for me, the important thing for me with playing Warhammer is that, and this hobby is that it is a hobby. It is something that we enjoy, and, you know, talked on the show last week about, you know, the importance of our friendships, right? And the connections we have in this community. When I think about some of the most memorable games, it's games where I've had against people who started as opponents, but ended up becoming, you know, people that were not just friends, but are now good friends in my personal life. I know that's not a gaming related, you know, like the tactics of the game. But to me, I think those are the games that I look back most fondly of in this hobby. I think otherwise, though, from a gameplay standpoint, I think it's when we've all been in this experience. Seth, right? You switched over to playing hyper based, right?
Yeah.
Very different than when you're playing orcs or Votan, right? Bit of a learning curve. You always have that one game where you feel like you actually got it, right? Like, oh, this is how the army is supposed to play. This is how I'm supposed to think about it. And I think I've had those games, whether it was 8th edition Blood Angels with their Psychic Awakening book, where to me it just felt like, oh, I'm playing the game and I'm actually the one controlling this army. I think those sorts of instances are the games that I also look really fondly back on. When it's the practice that actually feels like it's perfection.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, man. And I think Nick is right. It's a lot of times the actual game itself is kind of irrelevant compared to the relationship, the friendship you form with the person across the table from you. So some of the more memorable ones, I don't actually know the strategy or even what army I was playing with, but just the person I was playing against and how that person became a friend. So I say this sincerely, my best friends are people I stumbled across in this community and have become friends. Huh?
We all met through 40K.
We all met through 40K, right? I mean, we all met through 40K, and you guys both have godparent potential. Like in my view, you guys would be decent
please
godparents.
Don't, I don't need to be responsible for some other.
I'm not saying I'm going to make you my godparent, but just, you know, I would consider you godparent level friends here. But like you're saying, most of the games I have, I always think about the person I played. The game is really just a catalyst, right, to hang out with other people. I do have a few games, though, and I realized I was like just thinking, like, what are the games? And there's several games that all have one thing in common. It's where I finally figured out how to play my army or that particular army. And I'm like, oh, it all came together. I figured out the right positioning, and I was able to do it like the way the army's supposed to be played. And most recently was with Guard and running an infantry heavy Guard list. And I'm like, oh, I know how to make this work, and I won the game because I made it work, and it all came out beautifully. It was my guard versus some orcs, actually, and I was able to line up my infantry to protect my tank just perfectly and create that beautiful, you know, line to absorb the charge of the orcs and then keep on blasting away with the tanks. Anyway, it made me really, really happy to finally crack that code, or at least get good enough to use the army that I spent all that time painting. Yeah. Seth, what about you, man?
Oh, I think I'm going to have a different take on this than you guys.
Oh, no.
So...
It's going to be negative. It's going to be negative.
No, like the most memorable games of 40K for me, I enjoy my tournament games. Trust me, I wouldn't still be playing competitively if I didn't. But the games that really stick in my memory when I think of, like, you know, what was a game that, like, you tell stories about to this day. And there's a few of them. I'm just going to tell one today. But when I really got back into 40K, like most people, I played it as a kid and I got out of it in college. It wasn't cool. Girls didn't like toy soldiers. Then got into it when I got out of school, when I graduated, I was a veterinarian. The first year I was out in practice, my girlfriend, now wife, was still in school. So I was basically on my own. I moved to Baltimore. I didn't know a single human being in Baltimore. I just moved to a new city and took a job. And so I literally was like driving around one day, trying to get like a photocopy made of something I needed, and I was trying to find like a, you know, like a UPS store. And I passed the Games Workshop, and I was like, I should go check that out this weekend. And I met a very important core group of friends there that I met. And I spent basically every weekend hanging out with these guys throughout my time while I worked and lived in Baltimore, and developed some very strong relationships. That group ended up going on to make a gaming club called the Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is now a very large, successful team. A lot of those guys in life have drifted away and don't play anymore. And they play other games like AOS, but I still stay in touch with them. But I specifically remember when I took my job to move back down here to Alabama, I sat my four friends down that I played with all the time, and that was Alec, Frankie, Greg, and Brian. And I was like, look, guys, before we go, before I leave, I want to have one more game with all of you. And what I did is I put every orc model I owned on one side of the table, and they played four other armies on the other side of the table against me in an apocalypse game. And I think we got through like two turns. Like literally when they finished their turns, I was like, get your asses over here. You're helping me move models. you're rolling dice against your own models. Like we're doing it. And we just had like this dumb, stupid, giant apocalypse game. But they were all into it, having a good time. And it was just like one of those, like, this is the last time. Like I've seen all of those guys since then. I've stayed in touch with them, you know, text message, Facebook messaging, whatever. You know, I've seen Brian a lot, gone to vacations with him, but that was like, this is like, I knew this is going to be the last time I probably have all of these guys together and a chance to play against all of them. And so that just still kind of sticks out. It was a good memory. I ended up at the end, I was like, I gave each one of them one of my painted orcs and was like, you hold on to this. My blog will continue on. yeah, it was like one of those, like, cause I had a lot of good and bad times in my life during that time period. And 40K and that group of friends was the consistent group of friends that was always there for the good and the bad. And it was kind of bittersweet because we knew I'm moving away. I'm moving well far away. I'm not going to be able to see you guys, you know, and so just kind of taking that opportunity to have that one last experience with them was a lot of fun. So I remember that. I honestly don't even remember. I think, like I said, we got through two turns. I don't know who won. I don't even remember, like, you know, what crazy thing killed one in the battle. It was just, you know, for like better part of a day, us shoving a bunch of stupid orcs around a table. So it was a lot of good times.
Oh man, right. That's a pretty great way to leave, you know. And yeah. I'm like, oh man, I'm like getting a little jealous because here I am, you know, uprooting myself.
I might have picked that story for a reason, Kicker.
Yeah, that's a pretty.
You may need to be like, hey guys, all of my friends, you're gonna go play in my friend's RTT on some weekend, yeah. And we're just gonna get together and throw dice for a day.
That's a pretty beautiful idea. I don't know if I'm a little like selfish. I don't think I could give away one of my painted miniatures. Like I.
When you have as many orcs as I do, it's okay.
No, that's beautiful though, man. That's beautiful. Yeah. So, let's run into some hobby progress. Once again, this is coming from our Discord.
Yep.
Guys, Discord is important. We love you guys. This is the new Discord is the new chat.
It is the new chat. Now, Kicker, chat. You might know this individual, and I'm actually going to let you pronounce the name of his team, but this is Lou Rollins, and he finished up his Blood Bowl team, but it has a very Southern flavor to its name.
Ooh, so Lou Rollins and I go way back. Lou Rollins was my first opponent at the first LVO I won as a player. And I was like, I have no idea who this guy is, but his army is ridiculously gorgeous. He's extremely friendly. He had this one of those display boards that was just like over the top. Like display boards over the years have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, but at that point, like,
he was already bigger and bigger.
I was like, what the hell? And I'm here like with my little like tray of models, and I was a little intimidated, but he was such a nice guy and managed to kick my ass in such a friendly manner. And to this day, like, he's the kind of guy I'll see and go give him a hug. He is a very nice gentleman, and he is also playing Blood Bowl, not just 40K right now. Blood Bowl, he did the Bordello Buccaneers, I believe is the name. I love it.
But importantly, Bordello is spelled in the Cajun way.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, it's not the Cajun. That's the normal way. Everyone else outside of Louisiana has no idea.
That's why I let you pronounce it.
Sorry, yeah. I'm like, that looks very normal to me. But yes,
that's why I kicked it over to you, so you could...
Bordello, L-E-A-U-X. So, for example, we spell go, G-E-A-U-X down here. This is part of life.
That's the rest of the world spells it G-O because we're not dumb.
Yeah, well, no, you just don't have the sophistication that us Louisiana folk have. But yeah, beautiful painted models. Blood Bowl is so cool, right? Because The army, I call it the army. It's kind of a timeless thing. You paint it up, you can spend all your time painting it, and keep it forever and use it forever. What else we got here?
We've got Bobby. Sent in his Black Templar speeder. Oh, I can't remember the different storm speeder, this speeder, that speeder, but it's one of the new speeders.
One of the new storms.
Bobby's gonna yell at me. Sorry, Bobby. I don't know my Space Marines. I know orcs. If you had an orc vehicle, I could definitely tell you what that was. The Space Marine vehicles all look the same to me. I actually was watching a game the other night, and it was a bunch of like gladiator tanks, and they were like, this one and that one and this one. I was like, I don't even know what half those do.
And you see what he did, though, what Bobby does, it's Black Templar, so right, the primary color is black, but he has white on it.
Yeah.
Did he prime it white first and then paint black over?
I think he primed it white and did the black. Yeah, I think that would be the way to go. It's going to suck, but there's a lot less white panels than there are black. And then our friend who sent in that question, Hawks is for Life, he posted his work in progress, Eldar Rangers. Kicker, look at those earth tones, but then note how there is a vibrant color mixed into them. That's how you get that contrasting pop. That's how you do it.
And also the Eldar Rangers are probably one of my favorite models from the Eldar range. I don't think people give them enough attention, but okay, Seth, we should wrap it up for the night,
man.
Yeah,
we should, because I have Fallout to go watch.
You have Fallout to watch. I have Fallout to watch. Nikki D, you might have Fallout to watch as well.
Do you have Fallout to watch?
Are you watching some Fallout?
Not tonight. I mean, I saw Death Clock last night. I am very tired. I will be getting sleep. That is not the kind of commitment I expect for a member of the show.
Go get a coffee and watch Fallout. I won't talk about it.
Seth and Kicker, let me ask you guys, this is going to further impede you from getting to Fallout, but I need to figure out from my wife whether or not that is a show that she also wants to watch. And then do we watch it together or do I just watch it myself? So
first of all, if you can watch something with your wife, always do, because it's like that shared experience, right? If my wife and I were going to watch Fallout, if my wife likes it, then I guarantee your wife will like it. My wife is extremely, like I said, she doesn't watch much TV.
Except for her body problem. She likes that. It's definitely going to be my wife and I show, because my wife played like 1,000 hours of Fallout 4, literally 1,000 hours. So if she's still awake after all this tonight, yeah, we're going to watch it. But it's definitely an us show, which means I also need to finish all the episodes before I leave Friday for Saturday morning for my practice weekend, because I just want it all right now. I want to have all the Fallout. Final thoughts for the night, guys. Final thoughts, Kicker and Nick.
I want to thank Mr. Dean Pritchard. Yep. All right, this is just another one of these lovely members of our community that always make me realize how fortunate I am to be part of this community and whatnot. Like, Dean knew that I was on the hunt for that limited edition Croot mini that GW released, and he picked one up and sent it my way. I got in the mail yesterday and I got so excited. Dean, you are an amazing, friendly human. Thank you so much, dude. I don't know else to say it. Just thank you, man. I was like, oh man, this community is just, believe it or not, we
don't get to go to every event ever. Having some friends that are at those events like Dean that are willing to help us out. Yeah. We always appreciate it. So
thanks, dude. I really do appreciate it. My wife didn't understand why I was so excited about like one miniature. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, it's the limited edition miniature. It's really, really cool. She's just like, don't you have a bunch of those? I'm like, no, it's a special one. So thank you,
Dean. I'm half afraid that I flip back to the screen. You're going to be asleep. Final thoughts for the night, Nikki?
I'm looking forward to getting some painting. I have.
Oh, they're going
to
say sleep.
I'll sleep, but I don't have any plans between now and when we're going to record our show next week. So I will have hobby progress next week.
Oh, we'll hold you accountable. Yeah.
I'm excited to not have to record anything between now and next week, because I've recorded several things that will be coming out here soon. So, definitely stay tuned for Saturday. Maybe you'll see something on the channel. Maybe you won't.
And remember, guys, it's important to us. It really, really is for you to like, share, subscribe, hit the button, ring the bell.
We had a huge response to the first video in the new format. Keep it going. We really appreciate it. It does the heart good to see that love from the community. But
seriously, if you're listening to this in your car right now on the way to work, because you're listening to the audio format, like, just get to your office and go to YouTube and like or subscribe us.
Like, share it around. I think we've got something special going on here. I want more folks to see it. So that's it for us tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of Signals from the Frontline. And as our good friend Kelsey Ito in the Discord said, have a great week and we will see you on the frontline.
Good night, guys.